You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to another episode of Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Salisha Thomas. And y'all, today I have these two beautiful Black women who are my guests today, who are both starring currently right now in Fat Ham at the Public, which is in co-production with the National Black Theater. Let's go. My first guest today. Y'all, this is so exciting because I love to meet new people, and both of them on this call, they are so beautiful. I've only exchanged truly a couple of words with the both of them, but already I can just feel how beautiful they are from the inside out and their sweet spirits. So I'm so excited to get to know them. My first guest today, let's see here, Carnegie Mellon grad, come through. She's been all over TV, film, and theater, performing live from regional houses across the country to Criminal Minds, Pretty Little Liars, and Malcolm in the Middle, to movies on Lifetime and beyond. Also, like, low-key, she was on Martin, Living Single, and A Different World. That's so, like, come on. I know if you are watching this podcast or listening to this podcast, I already know y'all know what that is. Help me welcome Nikki Crawford.
Hello.
Good morning. Thank you for joining me.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be here.
My next guest, let's see here. She's a Spelman grad as well as American Conservatory Theater grad. We see you. An actress, a writer, a director, to name a few of her TV credits. She's on Blacklist, Bull, The Good Fight, Queens, Harlem Kitchen, and Snowfall. And one of her missions is to uplift Black people, especially women. We love to hear it. Please help me welcome Adriana Mitchell. Good morning. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. How are the both of you? And where are the both of you?
I'm in Harlem. And I'm doing great.
Adriana?
I'm in the South Bronx right now in my apartment, and I'm doing good. I feel good.
All right. Good morning. It's nice to see your bright, smiling faces. Fat Ham, what is it? I have not gotten to see you guys yet because I'm out of town. And as soon as I get back to New York, I get to see it. So what is it?
Adriana?
Fat Ham is a modern adaptation of Hamlet set at a Southern barbecue. Hamlet is a young Black queer boy named Juicy who is trying to break generational curses. And so all of the lead characters of Hamlet have been kind of transposed to these wonderful black dysfunctional family and friends at a barbecue. So it's a comedy. It's turning this tragedy into a comedy in the most brilliant way. It's a Pulitzer Prize winner. A Morehouse graduate wrote it, James Imes. And we're just thrilled to be a part of it.
I love that. Adriana, when I was looking through your resume, I saw like a lot of Shakespeare on there.
Yeah.
What brought Shakespeare into your realm? And I was going to ask, is Fat Ham a traditional Shakespeare piece? But he had just said it's definitely not.
No. None of us actually speak in verse except Juicy. And he only speaks in verse directly to the audience a couple times. So it's very much like James really grabbed like the bones of the play and then made a new thing, which is why it's so fantastic. I do personally love Shakespeare, and I just always appreciated the poetry and appreciated the heightened language. And my first paid theater gig was Measure for Measure. And so I've always just been open to, you know, getting to play the ingenues, leading ladies, and get to have that experience of stepping into those roles, because they, you know, can traditionally at a certain point, I think we have much more diverse cast now, but I think growing up, I had never seen a Black Juliet. I had never seen a Black any of those things. So it was really exciting to get to, you know, slowly over the course of my career, walk through the canon. So I'm not doing any Shakespeare in this piece, but it's nice that it's still related.
Okay, I love that. And also, like, I'm thinking back when I was growing up and getting into theater, like, I also didn't see a lot of like color in it. Like, oh, that's not for me. Mm-hmm. Not realizing that, you know, somebody's got to be the trailblazer. How about you, Nikki? What have you done some Shakespeare, or like, is this your first? What do you think about?
No, I have done Shakespeare. Actually, right before this, I did Hamlet. Oddly enough, yeah. So it was great coming in. I actually played the Ophelia character, which is Adriana's character, what her character is based on in this play. So I played an older version of Ophelia because she's a young girl. But yeah, no, I enjoy Shakespeare. But you honestly, with this play, you don't have to know Hamlet to enjoy it.
Yeah,
but if you do, you'll get some of the references, but you'll enjoy it all the same, even if you don't. So it's not necessary.
I love that, because I'm like, yes, okay, not everybody comes from a Shakespeare world, but every time I dip my toes into it, I'm like, this is really, it's great. And I'm starting to get the hype. Nikki, when I was looking through all of the things that you've done and where you've done them, and I saw a lot of California theaters on.
I live in LA. I don't live in New York. I came into New York to do this.
Okay. I'm from California too. So I'm like, she looks like a California girl.
Well, I'm originally from DC, but yes, I've been living in LA for a number of years. So what part of LA are you in?
Well, I live in New York now. I'm currently.
Oh, okay. Got you.
But I'm from Fresno.
Oh, okay.
But we love to hear it. I know you got to drive through it to get to everywhere else. But
you really do.
But I went to school at Cal State Fullerton in Southern California.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so let's see here. Question for the both of you. When you are working in theater or television or movies, is there anything that you would not do to your hair?
I wouldn't, in most cases, I wouldn't color it probably, unless it was a film and I knew that, you know, I wouldn't go some crazy color to damage it. Or like shave it off. I probably wouldn't do that.
How about you, Adriana?
I would say similarly, I wouldn't want to do anything that would damage my hair. Like I would, if there was a desire for my hair to be straight, they'd have to give me a wig, because I just think my hair cannot take. My hair is not heat trained. I haven't put heat on my hair in years. But I also feel like anything that would be damaging or have to be upkept in a way that I don't normally keep it, just give me a wig, give me some pieces, give me, you know, so that's really my thing. But I actually wouldn't mind, for the right thing, shaving it off, because my hair is so short already and it would grow back how I like it. If my hair was longer, I would absolutely not cut it. But I cut my hair off 4 years ago, and I've been playing around with wanting length, but practically it just is just easier. I actually just literally came from the barbershop, which is why I look crazy, because he literally
threw
water in my hair so that it wouldn't look like the haircut. But I love my barber because it's so hard to find a barber who understands, like, I want to look feminine, but I like my hair short, and he blows my hair out, and there is noise everywhere. He blows my hair out, and give me 1 second. I'm so sorry. I'm going to just tell him that he needs to lower his voice. So sorry.
1 second. No, that is so real, and I'll wait for her to come back. But okay. I wonder, like, I just feel like the rules are different for TV. And so that is what I'm so curious about. But please keep going, Adriana.
Yes, so sorry. We just have a lot of noise today. I don't really know.
It's New York. Don't worry about it.
It's New York City. But yeah, no, he blows my hair out. I tell him where I like to lay my edges so he doesn't cut there, and he leaves my sides, and you know, so it's just like a good barber who listens is really hard to find. And so when I actually find them, I'm like, oh my God, you're the person, and that's it. So I actually wouldn't mind cutting my hair off for the right thing, not for anything, but for the right thing. I wouldn't mind doing like a shave because it could grow back.
Okay. Controversial question. Mm-hmm. What if the coin was right? Nikki, would you dye your hair pink for $1 million for 10
minutes? Okay. Absolutely. Shave it too.
You're like, yeah, give me the laser. I pay him myself.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Look, if the coin is right. Because you could fix my hair, you know, after that with that kind of money, you know. Exactly. If you got money to pay me that, you got money to, you know, get somebody to fix it after.
But like for Adriana, like I've been natural since 2018 too, and it was so hard to put down my hot comb because I'm so used to just straightening my hair every week, every other week since fourth grade. That's just how I was raised. And but I literally went natural because the girls in my dressing room were all natural and they were all talking about it, and I wanted to be in the conversation. Like I had FOMO. I went natural out of FOMO. But so straightening your hair after not doing it for so many years, would you do that if they were like,
no, because it just wouldn't look. I just really feel like whatever they would want to do to my hair, they could accomplish with a wig. I think my hair, and part of the reason why it's short is because my hair is just very fragile. Even when it was longer, it was kind of fragile. And so this really is about health and maintenance and practicality. And because my hair is so short, wigging me is so easy. So I would probably still not agree to that. It would, because it's just, there's just too many practical solutions to achieving that look without actually straightening my hair, you know?
Okay. What about when you guys are, when you're getting ready for a red carpet or fancy date night or anything that feels important, what is your go-to? And I might be able to guess yours based on your last answer, Adriana, but maybe not. What is your go-to? Oh, I need this. Whether it's a brand of weave, brand of wig, whether it's a stylist that you're like, oh, let me grab my, what is it that you're like, I got to get right for this red carpet? I'm looking for secrets so that I can Google it and order it myself. That's really what I'm asking. I just learned about heat-free hair. I'm so excited.
What type of hair? I'm sorry.
It's called heat-free hair, and it looks good.
Oh, my
it's
gosh.
Like a, it's is it like a pieces or?
There's pieces and there's wigs, and it is. It's just so expensive, but I'm like, it makes sense because my friends who wear it, I'm like, oh,
I've seen heat-free hair.
It's called heat-free. So that means you can't put a like curling iron or something on.
Oh no, you can. I don't know why they call it heat-free hair. It's like natural. It looks
so you can
like
be heat-free on your hair and wear.
Oh,
that.
Gotcha.
It's called heat-free.
Yes.
I don't know.
So please, what is y'all's go-to?
I don't have a particular go-to. I mean, because each event is different and each look is going to be different. So, you know, I put pieces in my hair and, you know, yeah, I think it just all depends. I love wearing my hair back. Fortunately, it looks good, but it's also easier, you know, but mm-hmm. if I have somebody, you know, dressing me and styling me, then, you know, I'll use pieces, but I don't use anything. I don't have a particular brand or, you know, company that I use. It's just whatever.
You said I woke up like this. No, I'm just, no. You are, I'm like, I'm looking at you. I'm like, dang it. Nikki is so freaking beautiful. I'm like, please, like, tell like me it. What. She's like, oh, this old thing. Oh, no. My goodness.
Like, I looked tired. I was like, before I logged in.
No, you're so smart. All I have is sunscreen on, boo. It's oh, no. All I had time for.
You could do that at your age.
Oh, Nikki, stop it. I've always aspired to do the whole glam squad thing, but I'm good. You know, I'm excited to do that. Like, I've been manifesting, like, oh, I'm going to get a job where I'm going to be able to hire a PR person and hire a glam squad and have that first red carpet experience. And at which point I would love to play, like, and see what they could do with my hair, hair pieces, all that good stuff. But when it's me styling myself, the shortcut, I mean, people still love it. It's boring to me because I've had it like this for about 4 years now, but or 4 or 5 years now. But, you know, I give myself a little park. I lay my edges. I make sure my curls are popping and I be looking good. And, and you know, sometimes I've been experimenting more with wigs. So I have a eye part wig where it literally like I can pull out a little bit of leave out and just kind of blend it with my hair. And it clips into my hair. And then I literally blend just like a little bit of leave out and I'll wear that. So that's a new addition to my repertoire for self-tapes and stuff. Just because I think sometimes people get a little singularly minded when they see my hair short, even though this is really like the most versatile thing in terms of whatever you want a character to look like. And then I also have a little straight wig. I love me a box braid every now and again, which I'm missing right now because it's the summertime, but I can't change my hair until we close the show. But as soon as we close, I'm about to get me some hang time with some braids. but if it's just me styling myself for an event, I feel super confident and love my shortcut. And that's and just go to the barber, get it lasered up, and I feel good with that.
Oh, there was a question in there that came up that I'm wondering about, like, I feel like, do you guys, I'm not sure how many times you've done like long contracts. I know you guys have done so much TV and they'll probably work with what you have, but I'm wondering if like you just said, Adriana, you're like, I got to get through this run before I can change my hair. Have you guys ever felt that way in other contracts or have you ever been able to change your hair in the middle of a contract and for it to work out with the production team?
Mm. Well, no, because once it's, you know, the show is set or, you know, the character is defined, whether it be on TV or film, whatever, you have to maintain that look. It's different when you're coming onto a film or television set, you know, you have hair, makeup, whatever, they can work it out. But if you agree to a particular look, you have to, you know, stick to that. Like, this is not involving hair, but with this production, I wear these really short shorts. And so my legs were really white, even though I live in LA. I said, no, well, I'm going to all these legs. I put this tanning cream on my leg every night. And so I'm like 3 shades darker. But the next project I'm about to play, the character, she's an octoroon. So I have to like, I was already thinking like the summertime's like, wow, you know, I can't get too tan, you know what I mean?
Whoa.
So, yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. I've done a project where like, I got some tights. I won't say which one because, you know, but I had to get wearing tights on stage and they gave me colors full across the spectrum. Some that are not for Black people at all. Mm-hmm. And some that are like 10 shades way too dark for me. And I'm like, y'all, I'm not that one and I'm not that one. Mm-hmm. Something like that kind of like can low key hurt my feelings, but I don't want to I don't want to be like, oh, I don't want to be annoying or whatever, but that kind of thing makes me feel not great. And something as simple as giving me a pair of tights that are my color makes me feel seen. And so my question for you is, for both of you, when you're working on a project, what makes you feel seen?
I tend to, I guess of late, been really drawn to projects where creative teams would have that level of understanding already. I'm less interested at this point, honestly, in doing a show where I might not have that kind of support. And especially now that there's such a vocabulary for it, there's been so many conversations about it. I don't really have any problem being like, this don't match. This is not my color. This is what I need. Because I went through this, I did a production of Noises Off. And I played this character, Brooke, who runs around in her little, in this little red nightie, and she has this British accent, and she's traditionally this blonde character, right? So they obviously didn't make her blonde, but like, you know, she has a kind of ditzy, fun, comedic thing to her. And so for the marketing, they decided to use her leg because she's kind of like a little sex kitten who pops around in and out of doors, and it's like a farce. And so in the marketing materials, her leg is popping out of the door. And that was the picture that they chose to use for the for the show, right? But then I looked at the leg and the leg was white. And I said, well, it was kind of tannish. And depending on the light, it looked like they had like kind of outlined it with tan or something. Like she was a tanned white woman leg. But I was really offended by that because I was like, you knew you all were casting me. Why are you afraid to advertise this show? That's going to be my leg. Like, that's my character. And that's supposed to be representative of me. And it's a white leg. Why is it white? Mm-hmm. You cast a Black woman as Brooke. And they never changed it, but I think they were like embarrassed. And I was just like, why would you do that? Mm-hmm. Like, or, you know, or like, don't make that kind of marketing decision until you know you're casting, if that was the case. So I just think, I have no problem at this point. I'm like, theater is hard, especially theater. Like you do so much work for little pay, and in terms of working 6 days a week and doing 8 shows, and you understand. And so I think I deserve to have somebody who gives me the appropriate hair products, gives me the appropriate tights. And, you know, I find nice ways to say it. And I mean, Nikki and I have both been like, okay, this works, this does not work, and you know, you just gotta deal with it, because it's like at the end of the day, I have to go out there and look like that, and I have to be comfortable. Absolutely. You know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh my god. Oh, that stops my heart about the leg. Oh,
yeah.
What about
it's crazy.
You? Yeah, I would. Oh, I don't know what I would have done.
If that's not my leg. You see my skin. That's not my leg.
Mm-mm. If that was middle of the pandemic, I think it would have been a post on Instagram saying question mark.
But, right.
Nikki, what makes you feel seen?
I think the same thing. I don't really you know, I'll speak on an experience. This is back in the 90s. I think film sets, television sets, theater houses are more aware of how Black people of color have been excluded from the conversation, if you will. You know, I mean, just in terms of being, you know, considered for what they need. Everything has been, you know, it's not the 50s where they didn't have any makeup at all, but there were times in the 90s where you'd go on set and you could actually, they didn't know what to do with,
oh my god,
you know, with, you know, and I don't really even, my hair's not that, you know, it's not difficult to manage, but you could tell by just the way they put their hand on your head, I was like, stop. Because you knew it was gonna be busted.
You knew.
And so that, you know, over the years, people have been fighting to have Black stylists or, you know, stylists who knew how to, you know, do Black hair. And it's like Black people can do all types of hair. White people need to know that.
Period.
That's your job. You just do Caucasian hair? That doesn't make sense. So, yeah, somebody who knows how to put the proper makeup, because when you're doing television and film, you're generally not doing your own makeup. So you want somebody who's going to put the correct foundation on you and the right colors on you and understands your skin, you know, and lighting, how that's going to be all, you know, when you're on set and a director might favor the lighting for a predominantly white cast. If you're darker, that can have an effect and you might look muddy at the end of the day. So all of that has an effect. So that makes me feel seen when they consider all of that, when they consider us, you know, and all of that that goes into creating a production.
I have never thought about that. It's like when you're taking a cast photo or a picture with your friends, and if you're the only Black one in the group, you're like, what filter y'all choosing?
Right, you know, sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, white balance was designed, the feature of white balance in a camera was designed off of like a white woman's body. Mm-hmm. So that's why, like, I think that people have issues with like interracial couples and taking photos, because if the skin difference is too contrasting, the camera literally functionally is kind of racist or like just predisposed towards lighter skin. Like, I was just like, that's crazy. Like, things were even being invented, like, without us in mind. And it's just like, it's unacceptable, because we make money too in this industry, you know?
A lot.
And you ain't gonna have me out here looking crazy.
A lot.
You're not gonna have me out here looking crazy, I tell you what.
I'm just gonna ask you guys a couple more questions before I let you guys go, because I'm so grateful that you've shared your time with me this morning. But I am curious to know how you guys feel about the whole COVID, like going back into theater, or if you're back on set, how do you feel about COVID in these times? Do you feel like it's still the plague? Do you feel like it's like a cold now? Are you more comfortable? Are you still like, don't come near here for 20 days, 5 days? Like, what's your comfortability right now?
I mean, I've been blessed to work during the pandemic. I actually wasn't sure when I would do theater again, because I didn't know how theaters were going to manage that transition. But honestly, one of the safest places in the pandemic was to be working on set, because it's such an expensive venture. And the last thing you want is to shut the whole production down because someone came down with COVID. So we were testing every other day, like we are on this production as well. And so I felt super safe. And people wore masks, and they have zone A, B, C, and it's all like, you know, all of these different things, to the point that if they had forgotten to have me schedule a test, they just changed the whole shoot schedule. There was a day where I was like, you know, you all haven't had me test in the last 48 hours. And they were like, oh, we're sending you to Santa Monica to get a test, and don't come to set. And then they rescheduled, then they pushed my shoot schedule like 2 months, which was hard, but it was like, they were paying for my housing, so I didn't really care. I was hanging out in LA and having a great time and quarantining in LA where it was warm. I didn't mind. But I just felt like in the pandemic, that was where, you know, I think initially it was hard to find free tests and things like that. Working was my access to at least knowing that I was okay. And in terms of theater, like, you know, theater is, especially in New York City, is no joke. They have to make sure everybody is vaccinated and boosted. Audience members have to wear masks the whole time. They usually have ushers who are watching the audience to make sure they keep their mask on. We test regularly. And we do a lot of stuff in this show where there's like food and eating and touching each other's things and balloons. And so it's very physical, a lot of physical contact and kissing and touching and affection. And, you know, I feel safe knowing that they will text you if you have not shown up at the theater and you haven't turned in your test. And so I think there's a really good system, and I feel safe that I'm vaccinated, and I think that's important. And you know, I want to work. So I think whatever right. the current thing is, I'm about to do it as long as it's safe for me. Yeah.
Yes, that.
Got to keep pushing
through. I'm just trying to work up in these streets, okay?
Yeah, we trying to work. So
yeah,
that's how I feel about it.
I feel the same way. I mean, I'll test every single day. When the, you know, when people were considering getting vaccinated, I was like, I'm going to do it. Even if I turn into a, you know, cow, I don't care. Like, because as long as I can work. So sign me up.
Right.
Even if I turn into a cow.
Yeah.
Sign exactly. me up, you know?
Yeah. I'm fine with that. But yeah, you know, and I still haven't had it yet. So I'm, you know, it's like kind of, you know, I'm racing to the end, like, please, you know, I'm trying to dodge.
You've been dodging bullets like the Matrix for 2 years. Look at you, all the different waves.
Girl, that's very impressive. That is
impressive.
We're like in season 5 of the pandemic.
We are.
The blade.
So that's a blessing. And I feel like at this point, most people, when they're getting it, it's like, it's easier than getting a cold now.
Oh yeah.
This later strain, I'm so grateful I didn't get the early strain.
First one?
Like, yeah. I've heard strain. Of producers who have passed away. Like, it's really been very scary. Like, I caught the cute little Omicron earlier this year and I was pissed because I was so good and so careful and just caught it. But it was 2 days, I was vaccinated. I sat around the house and felt like a little under the weather, but it was fine. So it's just, I don't want to catch it again. I want to keep working.
Let's keep working. You guys, I'm so excited for the both of you. I'm so
thank you.
Appreciative to get to talk to you both and sit down with you. I'm so excited about Fat Ham. I'm in Cape Cod right now, but as soon as I get back to New York,
so nice.
I cannot wait to see you guys at the Public. It's so legit. Nikki, before we started recording, you mentioned that you guys got extended.
Yeah, to the 17th of July. Mm-hmm.
The third time, third extension.
Yeah. Let's go.
Yes.
Let's Great. Go.
Yeah.
Congratulations, both of you. How can people find you, follow you?
I'm on Instagram, Nikki Crawford, N-I-K-K-I Crawford, like Joan, C-R-A-W-F-O-R-D 917. And yeah, that's the best way.
Yeah. Same. Right. I'm on Instagram. It's my name, Adriana Mitchell with an underscore after that. And I'd be on there. So that's where you can find me.
Come on. These streets. Ladies, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the day.
It was a pleasure.
Have a great day. And thank you so much.
All right.
Of course.
Take care. Okay.
Have a great running Cape Cod.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Yes. Bye.
That was Nikki Crawford and Adriana Mitchell. Fat Ham has been extended to July 31st. So get your tickets now. And that wraps another episode of Black Hair in the Big League. Y'all, I'm so honored to have such great guests on this show. And if there's somebody who you want to listen to, please drop me a note on my Instagram at Salisha Thomas or at Black Hair Podcast and slip into those DMs and let me know what you want to hear, who you want to hear from. If you haven't already, please subscribe to this podcast, rate it, leave a review, tell a friend, follow us on Patreon at Black Hair in the Big Leagues. Y'all, I am so grateful that you are part of this community. It would not be the same without you. Shout out to Wilton Music for producing my theme song, Love COD. Shout out to Colin Tabor for editing this episode and most of these episodes. And shout out to you for listening. Y'all, my heart is so big and I feel so grateful. Thank you for listening to Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Salisha Thomas. See you next week.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode
of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.